Okay.
Now you're recording.
Okay, now we're recording. All right. Well, again, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody in here. It looks like we got a big crowd. So, what I would like to do is go ahead and start us off with some prayer, and then we'll get into this message. So, Lord, thank you for just all the guys being here today. Lord, thank you for this ministry of our men's breakfast, drawing us all together. Iron sharpeneth iron. It brings us together to hear your word, to learn from your word. And, Lord, I just pray that you get me out of the way, and that we get to hear about charity, suffering long, and is kind this morning, Lord. Pray that we can all practice our kindness and our charity, and that we can reach the world with things like that. So all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, figure out what to do with this. So, last month, Brady took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 13, and we went through verses 1 through 3. So I would like to go back there real quick. Or Corinthians. Okay, so what Brady had asked me to do was to talk about the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And so charity suffereth long and is kind. And we're going to focus on that. And just, I'm going to read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And then we get to verse 4. "Charity suffereth long and is kind." So, charity suffereth long. So, I have a quick story. I work in the paint field. We have contractors that will hire people that may not necessarily know anything about the painting field, and they're trying to train them and get them ready to go. And sometimes the guys, when they come in, they want more money faster, and they want to be paid for things that they're not prepared to do on a professional level. And you do your best as the boss to try to explain to them, you need to wait, you need to spend more time, you need to do this. But they keep pushing and keep pushing. And sometimes they push so hard that it's like, well, I'm not going to get anywhere with you. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go to somebody else. And even though you may have help them get a car so they could get to work, or you may have helped them pay a bill so they could, you know, still have a place to live, or still just be able to function, and yet they threw away that kindness that you gave them, and they went somewhere else. And in the world, I've seen a lot of contractors that have lashed out at them. Like, I don't want to help that guy anymore. If I ever see that guy, I'm going to mess his job up. I'm going to go dump paint all over the carpet in the living room he's in, or whatever. Just do crazy things like that. But I've also seen some good, huh?
I said not in construction.
No. But I've also seen good Christian men that I know that have been treated in that fashion after they have loved on people and done everything they could to help them and try to get them in church and try to get them where they need to be. And this person still runs off, and if they don't know Christ, usually they're going to run into trouble. They're going to have issues in life. And sure enough, they come back around and they're like, man, I really screwed up. I did this wrong. But they're so timid coming back because they're like, gosh, I did this guy really bad. He needed me to help him finish this work, and I left him in the middle of it. And he may or may not have gotten paid or whatever. But I've seen those Christian men be kind to those guys still and end up winning them to Christ. And then they go on and you see them win other people to Christ. So everything we do, we need to do with charity and with kindness so that people see Jesus Christ in us, so that we can share His love with the world. So this verse, the first three verses, when it talks about I'm going to forget what it is. Oh, there it is. Okay, the tinkling cymbal. Every time I hear that tinkling cymbal, I think, wow, that is pretty insignificant, you know. If you don't love people that you're working with, you have to have some parameters. You can't go pay their car payment every time they need it paid, but sometimes you can give them counsel on how to save that money instead of going to the bar and spending all your money, and then you don't have a car payment, and then you can't get to work, which causes problems at home and all kinds of things. It just spirals out of control. It's whatever you say is worthless if you don't love these people. So you can know the doctrine, you can teach the Bible, you can have faith, you can suffer, but if you don't love them, you're wasting time. And this is time that God has given us, and we are supposed to be giving God's word to people and living in such a way that they will see Christ in us. So we need to make sure that we do that job. So Paul tells us that charity, it's not a feeling, it's not a weakness, or it's not passivity. Charity suffereth long. So the phrase suffereth long means to endure wrong without an aggressive attitude towards somebody. And that's hard. You get punched or you get hit somehow, but yet you just need to take it. And you need to protect yourself, but you need to just absorb it, because you're dealing with someone that's lost, that doesn't know the love of Christ. Because somebody that knows the love of Christ is not going to do that, or not intentionally do things like that. So we have to be patient with people, especially when they irritate you. You know, when you're a kid, if somebody takes your ball, you're going to go take it back and maybe push them in the process. Like, get out of here. This is my ball. I watched some of that playing Foursquare last night. Anyway, you got to show them there's a structure that Jesus gives us so that it doesn't change all the time. And some kids would get their feelings hurt during that game because, well, hey, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did, oh, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. You know. So we just have to suffer long. We have to be strong. We need not to be short-tempered. We don't need to be aggressive verbally with people. You don't want to shout them down. You don't want to make them feel like they're just dead wrong, or you don't want to humiliate them. You don't want to do anything like that. So the best way for us to learn what it means to be kind is to see how God treats us. And He's definitely been kind to me. He's definitely been very gracious to me. The fountain of grace pours out on me all the time. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's why we're alive. That's why we're here. We need to lead people to Christ, not away from Christ. God has been patient with us. You know, think about where you were at before you got saved. Think about what your rebellion in life was like, or if you had any. And think about how long it took you to get where you're at right now. God has been patient with all of us. Praise the Lord. And God did not cut us off. He didn't say, "Well, you didn't memorize that scripture like I asked you to, so I'm done with you." Because it's I have not memorized the scripture like I was supposed to, but yet God still found other ways to get me involved in things. So, in Romans 2:4, nope, not that one. Sorry. God's goodness and His patience with us is what leads us to repentance. So we have to show the same thing. So if God is patient with us, how can we justify being impatient with anybody? That is the devil at work. And we need to bring God the glory. And the only way to do that is to be patient with people like He is patient with us each and every day. And we also need to do it at home. We have our wives, our siblings, just our children, our grandchildren. People are looking at us as men to lead our families. And if we are impatient with them, or we bring work home with us, like, "Oh my gosh, I've got 12 jobs I've got to get done by 9 o'clock tonight, and I've got to go," and your son comes to you and say, "Hey Dad, we got the ball game tonight, are you going to be able to come?" It's like, "Hey, I'll check in on you, I'll ask your mom, we'll see you later." And you just run off, and you don't pay attention and give the attention that you need to your family. Your patience, like God has with you, needs to be passed on to others. So we've got to take care of our wives, and we need to listen, and we need to take the opportunities that God gives us to minister to our families. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." You know, bitterness often grows from impatience. And it's like, "Honey, I thought you were going to get my dry cleaning from the store. I've got a meeting I've got to be at, and I was supposed to wear that new suit." You know, if she didn't get it done, it's probably because she was busy doing something else that you probably needed her to do. And if things like that happen, well, maybe you weren't supposed to wear that suit. So you can't let you cannot let things that don't go well, or things that seem to prevent you from what you want done, to influence those around you. You don't want to bring that trouble to them. So young men, you need to think about not being short-tempered, just like the little kids in Foursquare. They didn't get out of hand, but they were definitely coarser than what I was expecting them to be, whether the rules were being followed. So you need to make sure that you pause when you feel like, you know, "Hey, don't push me, I'll push you back. I'll do this or I'll do that if you treat me that way." You don't want to be that person. So you need to keep that in check. For middle-aged men, which I would be on the high end of that, I still think I'm middle-aged. I don't know. But it says, are you irritable or stressed when you come home? Are you irritable with other people? Our whole purpose is to show God's love to people. And the older men, people that are my father's age or older. I remember as a kid seeing some older men, and they would see the kids out playing, and they might say something harsh, or like they're running you off, get off my grass, get out of this yard. And you know, that doesn't necessarily, I don't remember seeing anywhere where Jesus said, get off my grass and run people off. But you can say, gentlemen, would you please play somewhere else, because those are where my wife's flowers are. And so here's a ball. Why don't you go down the street and play? Or something. You can do something that's kind. So you just have to think about it. You have to stop and take the time to love on them rather than just be gone and don't mess with me. So long suffering is basically, I will absorb any irritation that may be happening so that I don't spread it. Have you guys ever seen the thing where if you smile at somebody and the next thing you know the camera follows, you smile at the person you let in the door, and then they're walking along and then they smile at somebody else, and it just keeps going down the line. You can be a trigger for how other people behave towards other people. If they see you being kind in an irritating situation, they may be more likely to do that elsewhere. So you just have to pass it on. So you guys all know, I started out with that story about just an employee that's difficult to deal with. But you have coworkers, you have employees, you have bosses, and you have customers, people that you're trying to take care of. We need to do that using Ephesians 4:2, which says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Sometimes people, especially if they are of the world, they can ask for some pretty unreasonable things. And their lack of planning has put you in a serious crunch to get things done for them if you let it happen that way. We need to keep, you know, meekness is power under control. Just because you can go nose to nose with them and scream and yell and all that kind of stuff doesn't mean that we should be doing that. Because you don't get anywhere. You end up getting a bloody nose out of the deal or whatever. Or it could escalate even further. The road rage things, you definitely don't want to get involved in stuff like that. I got to grab some water here real quick. I got one right there. So, forbearing in the verse that we read from Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And it means essentially putting up with one another. When somebody's having a bad day, they may be gruff with you, but that doesn't mean that you need to respond that way. If you give a soft answer, you can take care of some of those situations. So real strength is not raising your voice, but it's controlling the power that God has given you, right? He that is, in Proverbs 16:32, it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. If you're constantly out of control, we've all seen the guys that always want to fight somebody growing up. They always wanted to be in the fight. They wanted to be the show at the next party and pick somebody to fight just because. And those guys, usually they get corrected somewhere along the line, either through the civil government or just people start to stay away from them because there's no love in those guys. They're not sharing that. They're sharing whatever is wrong with them. and they're passing it on. And so, you know, essentially the bully. You may not necessarily want to confront a bully, but if you can show them love, whether they deserve it or not, that's not a weakness for us, by the way, either. Being kind to somebody is not weakness. The world will tell us that, you know, you got to be a man and stand up and nobody pushes you around and nobody's going to say something disrespectful to me. You know, look at all the things that have been said to God, and He still loves us. So,
sorry, brother.
That's good music. So, the verse that we read, 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That verse destroys the world's definition of strength. And, you know, we think of the world in general, we'll think of strength. You see these MMA fighters they're just, nobody's going to stop them. And this is the world's champion at 150 pounds. Great. But that's in that arena, and that's a sport and whatever. But we can't do that. We cannot be in the flesh. We must walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh may be that I'm going to be the one in control. I'm going to be the one that dictates what happens here. And without love, you're just creating more trouble. So the strongest man in the room does not necessarily, he's not the loudest person, but he is the one that rules his own spirit. The one that can remain calm in the storm. You know, we all know that. We all hear stories of, you know, George Washington went through battles, and they talk about how he went through a hail of bullets and never once got touched, but that's because he was focused and he was moving forward, and people, that's strength to be able to move forward in difficult situations. And if you're walking with God and you're showing people love and you're doing things in a loving way, that's the best way to go. So the last part of the first part of charity suffereth long is and is kind. So long suffering is not reacting negatively to and aggressively to people that are hassling you. Okay? Kindness is something that you choose to do. So kindness is an active thing. It moves. It serves. God's kindness towards us is spoken of in Ephesians 2:7, which is that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is not just patient, but He is kind. He doesn't merely tolerate us, which we can tolerate people, but if you don't show them love, you're not helping them. So God blesses us to do those things by giving us His word and giving us His example. So our kindness is a very masculine strength. The world says that kindness is soft, but the Bible says kindness is Christ-like. Kindness is what a real man needs to be doing, because Christ was the real man on earth that we need to follow. In Luke 6:35 it says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Kind to the unthankful. That's how we need to be. Kind to the difficult, kind to people that are disrespectful. And that takes meekness. That takes power under control to deal with those situations. Luke 6:35. And kindness is action. And so then I get to Ephesians 4:32, and it is, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And almost any time I get to talk to someone who I have known for a long time that may go to church, or they know who God is, and it's like, be kind and tender-hearted. You can't go chew your sister's head off if you're following Christ. You have to, God forgave you, so you need to forgive them. And I go to this verse a lot. It just reminds me, be kind one to another. Whenever I feel like giving a negative response, it's like, well, look what Jesus has done for you. Look what he's done in my life. Look how he's changed my life. So kindness looks like listening when you're tired. It's like speaking gently when you're disrespected. It's helping when it's not appreciated. It's forgiving when you're wounded. Kindness changes people. In Romans 12:20, it says, "Therefore, if any man, or if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." That's my, I love it when, just at work in general, if somebody comes in and they're upset about something, you take care of them. Get them whatever they need, get them on the road as quick as you can, and they remember that stuff later, because they may make a comment to you later, like, "I'm really glad you took care of that for me. I'm sorry I was upset." I usually get apologies from people when they come in and they're upset. They'll come back later because you treated them well, and you treated them with love or kindness. So I'll get to this next one. And kindness has power. It disarms anger, it softens hearts, and it opens doors for us to give the gospel. If you're kind to somebody, they may be willing to stick around so you can talk to them a little more. And if you're kind this time, maybe you see them in another week and you can speak to them again. And ask them about, "Well, how's everything been since the other day? That looked like a pretty rough day for you. Are you still experiencing that, or would you like to know a better way?" And so a practical application for us, which I think I mentioned a little early, especially to the young guys, if you learn to control your anger or to control your negative responses to people now, right now, so that you learn patience early and you develop habits of kindness before you get married and before you become a father, now's the time. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong if you carry those angry thoughts and those wrathful responses. How are people going to remember us? Was that a kind man? Did he have patience for me? Did he love me? You want people, you know, you want people, when you see someone who has been that, I think of Jim Boyette and how kind he was to me, and how he just oozed love, and he really was a good friend to me. So that's what I want for everybody in this room, and I think you are. I love the love that I see out of all you guys. I see it on Sundays when you're helping people out, or you're doing things that you weren't necessarily expected to do, but you did it anyway. And it may have been to great inconvenience for you. But you still did it because you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So, keep up the good work. You know, and when we get to people that are my father's age, you still set the tone for your family. You still, your sons and daughters still look to you for guidance. they still look and watch what you do and how you do it. Your grandchildren are watching you. And we, if we take care of our family circles and we teach them how to love people, they are much more likely to do the same. And so our circles expand. And you take care of your business, which is that, and the rest of the world will eventually catch up. We've got to be an example of God's love at all times. So we set the tone. People are still learning from you at all times, and people are watching you that you never knew were watching you. And they may see you do something that it's that character quality. It's when you do the right thing when nobody but God's watching. And you just need to practice that. Titus 2 calls for older men to be sober, grave, temperate, and that includes being patient and kind. So, charity suffereth long and is kind. Ask yourself, do my wife and my children see me as patient? Do my coworkers experience me as a kind person? Do lost men see Jesus in you? How are you being received? Jesus is our perfect example. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He suffered long and he was kind, even to those that nailed him on the cross. In Luke 23:34, he asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do, as they parted his clothes and gambled for things. And they put him on a cross for us. Jesus was on that cross for us. And that is the ultimate in a masculine strength. So we need to always, in closing here, we need to always... just pause when you get irritated and think about, you know, what would Jesus do? What should I be doing right now? Because people are watching. Little eyes are watching. Older eyes are watching. And your character and your love, whatever amount you have, is going to show up in what you do and how you do it. You know, when we're tempted to explode, rule your spirit. When you could be harsh, you have to think, I need to be the opposite. I've got to let kindness show through instead. So charity's not loud, it's not weak, and it's not passive. Meekness is our power under control, which is how we can love others around us. It is Christ-like manhood. So show that to everyone. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your kindness to us and suffering long for us, Lord. Just thank you for this opportunity to be here and speak your words. I pray just for a great week for everybody, a great month until we meet again at the men's breakfast. And just thank you for this ministry, and I thank you for just all the love you show us. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. So, just give me 5 more minutes, which is in reality is 10, but that's fine. No, that was good.
Thank you.
That was good.
Yes.
Thank you, Jamie, for those words. Sometimes it's what we got here. And one biblical example that I always think of is Abraham. You look at